The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
Oh, we're live. All right. Live. Welcome to Dirty Mo Live on this Tuesday. That was good. Oh, hold on. Oh, all right. I think
mine sounded good, boy.
You won
that
one. That was pretty good. Anyone in the booth have a drink that they want to open? No.
No, not yet.
Okay,
on our way.
Not yet.
On
all
our
right.
way.
Well,
if you need one, let me know. I'll get up and get you.
I've heard beer commercials that didn't have such a good pop.
No, last
week. That was freaking awesome.
Oh, wait. You did watch the Dirty Mo Live last week, didn't you? Because you were commenting.
I watched just enough to talk shit to Micah Caldwell, which, by the way, Travis, you didn't even give me a credit for the question. You literally asked Micah Caldwell last week on YouTube Live. I was in Los Angeles, California, in an Uber car, and I'm sitting there,
and I'm
watching this thing. Yeah, a Kia.
Okay.
I got a Kia.
So, do you?
Yeah.
That don't surprise me. But anyways,
what does that mean?
It means whatever you want it to mean. But look. Micah Caldwell sitting here on the couch, and I say, hey, ask the gentleman in the middle how Duke is or what time Duke's playing today. Travis, you ask him about that, and then Micah all of a sudden gives this dissertation about what he thinks about the Duke basketball team and what they're looking like next year, who's graduating, who's coming back, and I didn't even give a damn about that. I just wanted to talk a little smack. And here
Had
you guys
I known
are,
that was Mike
here
Davis.
You guys are. Yeah. See, I don't care about the Duke basketball. I just wanted my credit just saying, hey, what time does Duke play in the Sweet 16? Now, the reason I didn't want to bring this up real quick is because Alabama got beat
it cursed
in the Sweet 16.
So it's immediately cursed him.
Yeah, it was not a big thing. So I don't want to talk about that. So move on.
All right.
What
we'll
do you want to talk
on.
About?
Let's just drink.
Yeah, yeah. I got to take care of these two today. Yeah. I'm the one drinking the water and steering the ship, I guess, is
be
what
the
we
adult.
Said right before.
Be the
yeah,
adult.
I'll be the adult for all of us here. We had a slew of shows already this week.
Yeah, we did.
Action's Detrimental with Denny Hamlin, Door Bumper Clear, Dale Jr. Download. We still got what? Dirty Mo Dough. Dirty Mo Dough.
We do. Show. Can I just say something? I was disappointed in the title for Action's Detrimental this week. It said something like, I think the title was Shit Show.
And No Respect.
And No Respect.
No Respect.
What would have been better, if I might suggest a better title? It should have said Shit Show and a Happy Ending. Now, why didn't it? Why didn't it? Because I listened to Action's Detrimental, Travis, and very clearly, Denny says Shit Show and a Happy Ending. And he goes, that should be the title of the show. Why wasn't it?
Err on the side of caution.
What are we cautious about?
You know, just, you know.
Endings, you want endings to be sad or happy? I don't understand.
Well, I want my driver to win.
All right, so, but he was saying it ended up being a happy ending.
Yeah, I know.
Because his driver, his team won.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Could you explain?
No,
Why
I can't.
Would you take out happy ending? What's wrong with happy ending?
We made the decision it wasn't going to be in there.
We?
Yeah.
Who? I've never liked the producer of that show.
I never have either. Right. You know what I've heard about him? He'll let you down.
Yeah. Oh,
during particular golf championships.
Oh, man.
Oh, Masters
this
next
place,
week.
This place is going to – what are we going to
do
with
maybe
that
he
you?
Can redeem himself next week. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, you might lose your job next week if the new substitute producer is better than you are.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, we call it people from the minors, and sometimes they hit 350.
Wait, hold on. Are you calling Micah minor league?
No.
Whoa.
No. Mike is just changing sports a little bit. He's just coming in to help. He's coming in as a he's maybe our Michael Jordan. He's just Michael Jordan going to play baseball.
I don't want to get Wally pipped.
Is that what you're going to do? Nice. I like what you just did there. Right. Wally pipped. Andrew doesn't know anything about that.
I don't get the reference.
It's okay. Listen, I don't get the reference about happy ending, so like
that, yeah,
none of
and
us.
Travis won't explain it. To anybody.
Yeah, and he won't explain it, so I guess we're all just going to be here.
Are we going to rely on
uninformed.
The YouTube chat to tell us?
Yeah,
no,
maybe.
No.
All right. Well, is this what you wanted to talk about today?
No. You've taken over so far. No. Listen, we had a lot of good shows talk about CODA so far this week, and at least from I haven't listened to Action's Detrimental
yet. Oh, thanks.
But yeah, it's the last show I listened to, mainly just because the quality is terrible. But already after listening into Door Bumper Clear, the Dale Jr. Download today, which will be out shortly, I've heard some differing opinions about how CODA went down, and I thought it was interesting to get a well-rounded. Kind of everyone's take on the race weekend. Obviously, we had a slew of cautions towards the end of that one. How many overtimes was it? It was three, wasn't it?
Several, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're still having overtimes right now.
Where do you guys stand on the overtime attempts? Did it get too ridiculous at the end? Did we need all the attempts? I mean, Freddie yesterday on DBC said that, and this may be an unpopular opinion, but that we should end like IndyCar, advertise distance.
No.
And you know, no overtime attempts.
Yeah, he's an
idiot. I thought that was a little
that's
extreme.
An awful take.
He's an idiot.
But where do you guys stand on that?
But by the way, I think Dale Jr. was probably more alike that.
Like Freddie.
So they're both idiots.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yeah.
You're calling him that?
Sure.
Why not? All right.
I mean, I liked it personally. Now, I was rooting for Tyler, obviously, you know, because that makes Denny happy, makes the podcast better. But all the cautions, I enjoy, like, I'm a newer NASCAR fan, so I'm not this, like, purist. Give me that. Now, granted, it did take a long time, but I was on Sunday, you know, I was hungover, so I was watching the race and just enjoying it on the couch. So I didn't mind that it took an hour of extra time and going through all that. Like, the action is what people want, right?
Yeah, that's what I want. So let me ask you guys this real quick. Do a quick summary of where each of your shows sort of netted out in this before we get to what we said on the download, which comes out today. So first start with Action's Detrimental. What did Denny say about the end?
DH said we need to go to single file restarts because the drivers aren't helping themselves, so NASCAR has to help them.
So, Denny said drivers can't help themselves, so someone must help them. You know, prevent them from being themselves, right? Okay.
Which
so
I still think.
So I think single file restarts. He also said that maybe changing the zone, the start zone maybe?
The restart zone
or something like that, right? That was pretty much it. All right, what did the Door Bumper Clear say?
Well, I shared Freddie's of let's go advertise distance. The guys seem to disagree with that. But still, we need to figure out necessarily what's going on with these unlimited attempts. I think that was the key, is we don't need to just keep re-racking them for the sake of we're going to take the white under green type of thing. I think that was their biggest point that they made.
Okay. So I'm trying
It was
to,
about the number.
I'm trying to figure out how deeply to go to this, because I do want people to go listen to our podcast today, which is coming out anytime, right? Like, it's coming out soon. So the Dale Jr. download, Dale and I discussed this. I will say that I was a little surprised by Dale's take, which was aligned with Freddie saying, yeah, he doesn't like the multiple restarts, right? I am of the belief, and I got to be careful here because I might get on a soapbox. The more I think about it, I want to be proud about what NASCAR is. And I honestly don't want it to be like all the other things. You know what reminds me about, when I think about races that end under caution, I think IndyCar.
Yeah.
I think about almost like half of the Indy 500s that I've ever watched in my lifetime, half have ended under caution. And I remember the letdown that is. Okay? Now, racing purists and IndyCar fans will staunchly defend that that is the way it is. It's the advertised distance of the race, that is what it is, and that is what we are proud to. And that's fine. I think it's perfect for IndyCar. But I want something that NASCAR can be known for. And that is, by God, for better or worse, you will not have a race that ends under a caution flag if we're going to do everything we can. And so I guess this week it's a little disconcerting for me to hear everybody start trying to fix the problem. There's, you know, well, we got to fix the driver. We got to help the drivers from themselves because, God Almighty, we don't want a lot of hurt feelings in the sport. What? Wait a second. What, have we forgotten
sport
what we like?
Built on hurt feelings.
Come on now. What? And I know that Dale and I disagree on this. Dale doesn't like these, you know, road courses, especially the ones that have this very tight turn one. And he's like, the track needs to take some responsibility in the fact that these guys are bottlenecking into a turn.
How do you do that, though?
Not race there.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, like, you know, he had a problem last year with the Brickyard. Well, the Brickyard sort of it's sort of like where it's like they've made their bed, right? The IndyCar, the Grand Prix there has been a race. It didn't just start last year. And maybe NASCAR racing there is still somewhat new. But I'm just saying that either we are the rough and gruff, don't mind to put a bumper to you, don't mind to mix it up a little bit. We're going to be disrespectful, hearing that word a lot this week. Yep, hearing it. Or we're going to be the single file. We can end under caution. Not going to go, you know, make nothing but clean passes.
Well, think about all the
things. I don't know. I don't know why we're being so hard on ourselves. This is what we are. It's like I say on the podcast today. We're the ones that might fight at the end of the party.
Yeah.
We're going to fight at the end of the party. There's going to be that one person at the party that's going to go talk shit to somebody and probably mix it up. And it's a bit of an embarrassment to some other party goers. But maybe that is what we are.
I think there's two things that I took away from what you just said. And maybe the reason this is, I mean, this is not the first time we've had three overtime attempts to finish a race. But I think where people had a problem with it, and again, it comes down to just the sake of the racetrack being so big, those cautions were so long. So we knew, all right, the caution comes out, we got to rack them all up again. We got to wait even longer. But hell, if this was Bristol, we'd be all for three-plus overtime attempts. For sure.
Well, that's the one thing I've saw some people mention is, could have a local yellow been used a couple times on Sunday instead of going straight complete caution?
Again, what's our goal with that? What's our goal with that?
I don't know, but I'm just throwing that
out. Do you think that they're throwing the caution because they're concerned about the safety of the drivers? Now, there may be an element to that, but no, we're trying to get a green flag finish.
Well, I agree.
We're trying to re-rack them so we can get an exciting finish. Now, the problem that we would have – it's so funny that we're all sitting here trying to diagnose this perceived problem.
The download's out.
Nice.
And so the download is out. You can go listen to Dale and I talk about this.
Once we're done.
But the fact of the matter is – the one scenario where I would have thought there was a problem to fix is the fact if Tyler Reddick had not won.
Yeah.
He was the class of the field all day. So if Tyler Reddick would have lost, and he could have lost because easily, he had every chance to lose with all these restarts, right? And the fact that they couldn't go around this big old long circuit without having an incident. But Tyler Reddick still won. So the right driver won. And we still had a lot of excitement. And it did get a little tedious. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was also starting to get annoyed, but I'm not going to let my feelings on Sunday going, oh, my God, this is just dragging out and dragging out. I got to be honest with you. I'm more about what NASCAR is and what NASCAR isn't. And I'm proud of what NASCAR is. I love this sport. I love what we are. I don't mind being the ones that are going to give the fans every attempt at a green flag finish. And I don't mind the fact that we'll put a bumper to you. This disrespect, I've said it on the show. I've said it to Denny. I've said it to everybody. I like that he and Ross don't get along.
Well, I like that the outside drivers that came in, you know, we're talking about how hard it was. Like, it shows that you just, any driver can't come into NASCAR and just go out
there's
there.
There's that. And also, I also like the fact that it changes up the strategy at the end of the race. You have a chance to come in and put fuel in for as many green, white, checkered restarts as you know might happen, but it's part of the guessing game. It's part of the chess match. And some people are going to roll the dice, and you don't know how it's going to end. And you know what? It's going to end poorly for someone. But that's our game, isn't it? Isn't that what we are?
Conflict
that's fine.
So let me ask you this, because if I try to remember like the history, the recent history of the overtime rule, it was three green, white checkers. Then we went to overtime with that overtime line, which we ended up getting rid of. And with that overtime line rule, it was unlimited attempts as long as you make it past that overtime line, I think is how it went. And then we got rid of the line. That was a nice, you know.
I'm nimble.
Did you pull your back? I'm surprised you didn't hurt your back doing that.
No, I'm getting comfy. Because I'm now getting in. I'm getting fired up.
Then we got rid of the line, and it's basically back to the green-white checkered rule. We call it overtime, but there's unlimited attempts. So now the only difference between what we used to do and what we do now is the unlimited attempts. Would you be okay with going back to the let's leave it at three,
no,
or are you good with the unlimited rule?
Unlimited. What, like, so if you can't get, like, that's, let them race. Like, let's finish, like, think about all the storylines that we would have lost had it been one overtime or just ended on the, at the,
well, we
the
had
laps.
Three. I mean, like, this, it's actually would not have affected it one way
anything
or another. I mean,
right,
to be honest with you, I'm fine. Like, if that's something we compromise and say, okay, let's just say three attempts, I don't think that we're ever going to exhaust those attempts and still have a problem. I think that there's going to be an anomaly here and there, but But we seem to be this thing where one thing happens on a 1 week, and all of a sudden we're like, change the rules, got to do something different. Maybe a track is okay to have a bad race from time to time. Or maybe you can have just one of those situations like we had this past week where they just can't seem to get around the track all at once until they can, and they did on the third attempt.
Yeah. Would single file restarts really do much? I feel like they're going to fan out no matter what.
They're going to fan out and dive bomb anyways. Yeah. It just might – a little further back, it's going to be a little harder for you to do it. But, like, think about where Ross was at one of the restarts, and all of a sudden he dive bombs in there and he gets up there. So I don't – it'll help a little, but
Listen. In this world, there's the running of the bulls. You know what I'm talking about? Pamplona, okay? You're going to run those bulls down a street. You know what? Somebody's going to trip.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to trip. All right. Now, we could do this. We could just run one bull at a time. You know, we could mitigate the chances of injury or something like that. Or we can cut all this bitches loose and they're going to go all at once. And you know what? Most people are going to make it down into that arena, but somebody's going to fall and they might actually catch a hoof. Do the bulls have hoofs? Is that right? I think they do.
I love this analogy.
But listen, we're going to just keep talking about this.
I'm just saying, but that is what that event is, right? Until somebody comes in and says, well, that we can't do that anymore because it's too dangerous or whatever it is. I just don't know. Do you think they're apologizing for what they are, or is that their tradition? I'm just saying, why can't we just be the rough crowd?
Yeah.
Why can't we do it? I think that what we have is fine. By the way, it does look silly when you go five wide into a turn one. No way can they make it through there. But
what else would you do? But if I'm in that position, hell, that's exactly what I'm
going to
do.
I hear drivers sitting there going, and Denny even did this. He goes, not everybody had to force it in there. They could have hit the brakes. They could have. But
you ain't going to win.
Isn't
that
this
way.
Also a race of brains? Isn't it a race like who's willing to do that?
Well, those first couple of rows, I think they even said it. There was a little more respect and deference shown at those first like three rows. But once you're in the back, it's the risk reward. It's there for you to go for it
because you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Listen to what Ross Chastain did, and I didn't love it, but I mean, dude, you knew when he was restarting at the end of the last lap that if they continued to have restarts, he was going to be picking them off 10 at a time because he's so good at restarts. We knew this, and he did it. Next thing you know, on the next restart, he's in the top 10. Next thing, he's in fifth. I think on the last restart, I believe he started on the second row. And it's like.
And if you're playing the game, that's playing the game.
That's right. I mean, like, and again, not going to make everyone happy. Of course, somebody's not going to come out of that thrilled. But I think that this is our sport, isn't it?
Yes, teammate.
This is what we are, right? Hey, I want to talk about this. This is an important point. I do make this on the download, but I want to bring it up to you guys.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for this? I want everybody to hear me out on this. I'm looking at
everybody
you.
Everybody, listen. Tiff, are you listening?
She's listening.
Dale and I don't know if we debated it, but the caution came out on lap 61 in a wreck that involved Austin Dillon and Ross Chastain.
AJ Allmendinger, too.
And AJ Allmendinger. Does everybody remember this?
Yeah.
All right. Freddie Kraft on Door Bumper Clear said that caution came out. And up until that point, Ross Chastain was the only driver. He stayed still on that track backwards in turn one. And that when the caution came out, then he waited for the safety truck to arrive, which they called on Door Bumper Clear smart on Ross. And then he fired up and then drove off. In other words, one might say he manipulated that. In fact, he could have driven off. And as we know, he damn near won the race. So his car was fine.
Yeah.
His car was fine. If you go look at the NASCAR report, the race report, all right, go to that lap.
61, what, right?
Lap 61. What is the cause of the caution flag?
Cause of the caution, number one car stopped in turn one.
Not because Austin Dillon was shredding tires, which did happen
debris,
also on that
and that's
lap.
What Fox showed, and maybe that's what they initially thought.
And that's
was
what
the
we thought. It was,
caution.
Oh, the caution's got debris. But that is not why they threw the caution. What does it say again? Why did they throw the caution?
Again, it says number one car stopped in turn one.
So what we have here is the number one car has stopped in turn one. The caution comes out. The one car then proceeds to then ride around the track, get caught back up, stays at the tail end of the lead lap, and because you have three restarts, he's able to advance himself, and he almost won the race.
He finished
fourth. Now, Denny Hamlin gets penalized $50,000 and 25 points because why? Why did NASCAR penalize him? What did they say he did?
He admitted to trying to manipulate a race.
He manipulated the race. Now, is what Denny did at Phoenix more manipulative of the race than what Ross did, allegedly, at COTA this past weekend, where he actually stopped on a track, waited for a caution, drove around, and almost won that race?
If what we're saying, let's say Ross Chastain admits that he did that on purpose this week.
Well, no, that won't happen.
Obviously,
but let's just
won't
say
happen.
He did.
And then that puts Ross and Denny on even ground in terms of admitting to manipulating a race. I actually think trying to draw the caution on purpose is worse than what Denny did.
100% worse.
I think so. And by the way, go to the download today. It's out now. Dale Jr. actually has some pretty funny responses to that where he himself might be even a little guilty in trying to cause cautions, right? Now, that's not what Ross did. Ross didn't intentionally cause a caution. Or did he? I mean, actually, he didn't intentionally cause a wreck, but he did not move. And so
he slow played it.
Well,
and he wasn't.
Dale's point is that there's telemetry.
He wasn't waiting for traffic to clear.
No, they were waiting on.
They all cleared, and he was still on the track. It wasn't like he was in the grass and needed a push.
And by the way, like the broadcast, see, it's a little deceiving for us watching at home because on the broadcast, I think it's Boyer, when they show the shot of the one, he goes, yep, left rear suspension.
He broke something.
Broke something because he stopped. But we know that that's not true. That was inaccurate. Not that Clint would have known in that moment.
Right.
He sees a car that stopped. But that's not what happened. That car was fine.
Yeah.
That car raced to fourth and could have won. So there was no suspension problem. There was no reason why he couldn't have joined A.J. Allmendinger and Austin Dillon. I mean, God, Austin Dillon's whole tire is coming apart, yet he found it within him to kind of proceed on and roll, but not the one. I don't know, man. It just needs to be looked at. I think that's if we're going to be consistent, Denny going to slap him around for manipulating the end of a race when he didn't really he manipulated maybe his finish Ross Chastain's finish at Phoenix. But to the point that we've also made is that aren't every driver decisions and are every crew chief decisions manipulating their outcome or at least an attempt to manipulate it? So what's so bad with it? Well, if you're going to slap Denny for that, what did Ross do that was any better than that?
And I think there's an agreement among at least the conversation we've had, not even this week, but in weeks past on the download, and then among other drivers, there is some kind of manipulation or retaliation that happens every single race. I mean, heck, even Button admitted to, like, hey, I got a few guys back. That was kind of – I enjoyed that aspect of it. Happens in every single race. So
yeah, they're going to fine Jensen Button for that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, this is where it gets
so
completely
So it comes down to the precedent that is set.
And I feel – well, in the precedent being what? Don't admit it if you did it?
Yeah.
Because now I feel like I'm just being patronized.
Yeah.
Like I'm not – like now Ross Chastain literally had a car that would not start, would not break until conveniently when the caution came out. And then miraculously, wow, he was able to start the car and proceed. Well done. Good for him.
And he took that damaged race car all the way to fourth.
And then – you know, with the prowess of a lion, he goes pouncing through the field with a car with a bad suspension that could not even start. I mean, come on.
So,
we're not idiots there. We know exactly what happened.
If NASCAR doesn't fine or punish Denny for admitting it on the show, do you have a problem with Ross doing that in the race? If the precedent is we're not going to penalize you for that type of manipulation.
Look, if I'm being honest, probably doesn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
but
being
the
honest
fact
here.
That we're talking
I'm being
about
honest
Denny.
Here. But like we had one of our own that got slapped for something he admitted on our air and on our podcast. And so therefore, I now get to scrutinize all the other little things that are inconsistent. So if Denny's not popped for that, doubt it even comes up.
Yeah.
in my mind at least. Yeah. But it'd be interesting to see if NASCAR even addresses that.
I don't think they will, because unless the numbers come back from the car they can see that, but you can see the telemetry. So it'll be that. But even then, it's not like it's public information.
It would be if they penalize.
Listen,
there's going to be some penalties this week.
Now his teammate's definitely getting fined.
Yeah,
I would think so.
Yeah,
because what Suarez did was he hit a car on pit road where a NASCAR official was nearby.
He hit two cars.
He did hit two cars.
He hit his own teammate.
In fairness, he was looking for those cars not on pit road. He'd been looking for them for an entire lap.
Did you see the video that was posted? They're like, I don't know if you're going to catch him at the cool down lap. And they're like, just be smart about it. And Daniel's running like a half hot lap.
He dropped the hammer. I think he ran his quickest lap of the race on the cool down. He was going after him.
Yeah, he was. Oh, man. I would have loved to have seen that not be played out with the race car being necessarily the weapon, but them to play it out fisticuffs on pit road instead.
Well, Suarez, who did he punch last year or a couple years ago?
McDowell.
Was it McDowell? Yeah.
Qualifying. Yeah.
Suarez is a scrappy man.
I'm with Andrew. Like, listen, I know NASCAR won't publicly say it, but I won a couple fights every year.
And if I'm his crew chief or spotter, whoever was advising him, like, hey, man, be smart. Like,
yeah,
I would at least tell him, like, if you need to settle it on pit road. That is the lesser of the two evils there in terms of.
Or listen, I mean, I was always impressed with Denny and Bubba in the fact that when they had their – do you even know about when they had their big fight? Do you know about this?
Travis, I feel like I've heard about it, but
the Daytona 500.
When was it?
They went back to. I'll need someone to check on that. Find out when Denny and Bubba got it. It was the year we were in South Korea for the Olympics. So
it must have been
2018.
18, I think, or 17.
Yeah, 18.
18.
So because I remember. Denny went back to the motorhome lot in
2018.
Because Austin Dillon won that year.
That was that race. And did Bubba finish second? Or was it that race? I can't remember.
Well,
either way, Denny and Bubba got into a fight in the bus lot.
Yeah.
And I can respect that. I can respect it because you know what that is? That's a driver handling their business and handling the respect thing and it not being for show, because that was never intended to be a public information. They got into their fight. Well, it's fun that Bubba drives for Denny now.
Oh, I'm watching it right here.
What are you watching?
The video of them, disagreement here.
I guess
I've never even seen that video.
Would you search that?
I typed in Denny Hamlin and Bubba fight.
Does it show the punch?
It showed the drive. Then that because it's on Race Hub, and then
there have been a few motorhome lot fights that have been captured by.
If there's video of this, why is this not on Denny's set? The picture, if we have nothing but his detrimental moments in his life. And I heard him talking about the bracket.
Speaking of that, we've got a bracket. It's coming out sometime this week. We went through 8 actions that were detrimental to his career.
Yeah.
And the winner, I guarantee you, nobody here will pick it.
What are the – oh, well, I guess the bracket's coming out.
Detrimental to his career?
Yep.
I've been known to win contests when I've been challenged.
I'll leave it at that.
You beat Dale once, and you act like you're the greatest thing ever.
You're right. If I win twice, then it'll be something. We'll see. But only if we win twice.
Lord help us if that ever happens.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
No, no way. So, okay. So, look. If Denny, the most detrimental like, – you know the answer to this? Like, y'all have already done the bracket?
Yeah, we did it last week.
When are you going to reveal the – outcome of this bracket?
It's going to be on YouTube sometime this week.
But it wasn't on the podcast?
He teased it. We have a 10-minute video.
Okay. So y'all, okay. What do I want to guess on this? You're saying I would not guess.
I'm not going to give the answer away.
I understand. I know, but I still.
All right. You can say yes or no. Is it like a ultra public thing? Like a conflict between him and another driver.
It's not just one driver. That's the thing. There's an outlier. I'm giving way too much for the people that when
you're
they
right.
watch the
him out. Versus NASCAR.
I'm.
Yeah, see, that's what I would think. It's like,
let's put it this way: Danica did not even make the eight. I'll give you that.
The bracket.
Yeah,
it was only an 8-team bracket.
Is this
the NIT?
After talking, we were like, we probably should have done like a 64, maybe actually.
I mean,
64.
Well, I'm sure Denny, if all people, has 64 detrimental actions that could be.
No,
put
we
into
have
a bracket.
Like we have a shared note, and the list of things that we had on here was more than eight, but we narrowed.
What
it
were
down.
The ones that didn't make the list?
I forget, but here's some of the ones that we have. We have him versus Chase with the spin out. We have the Logano fight.
Yep, those are two obvious.
We have
ones.
Harvick. We have
him. Wait. Him and Harvick. What
wrecked by Harvick at Bristol throws Hans device.
Oh,
yeah. Who hasn't wrecked somebody at Bristol and thrown their Hans?
We've got Danica. We've got Kyle Petty. We've got Chase Briscoe, Alex Bowman, Ross, Brad.
But you're not giving us the one that is the winner, obviously, because you said it's not Denny versus one driver.
Huh? Oh.
So you're obviously not giving us the one that actually wins.
Which, in a way,
is a bigger spoiler.
You sort of messed this up because you just like eliminated all the other possibilities.
Damn it, Travis.
No, because I've read some that aren't even on the list.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be interesting. All right, so I'm we can expect that on the YouTube.
Yep, Dirty Mo Media.
All right, I'd be curious to see what Denny and Jared both think.
What I also appreciate just how like.
I'm going to tell you one that Denny has that I wish was on his wall, and it's not. Denny and Junior Motorsports had a great pit road fight back in the race at Charlotte Motor Speedway, at the time the Nationwide Series race. Brad Keselowski driving the Navy number 88 car, Junior Motorsports, Tony Urie Sr., his crew chief. They got into it. Dale Jr. was in the race driving another Junior Motorsports car. There's a nice little pit road fight between the crews.
I love it when the crews get into it.
Yeah, what was Denny's sponsor in that? It was like, I can see the car. I just can't remember.
Clearly you can't, because if you can see the car, you can see the sponsor. Like the sponsors are right there.
I can see it, but I just can't remember the name of the sponsor.
Mike can't name any of the sponsors that currently...
I can't.
Currently in the series.
So, that was a good fight. But that, like, again, Denny's got more detrimental or more fights and more disagreements with drivers than anybody else.
So, just like on the topic of fights, and we actually had this conversation at our house a week or two ago. Out of the Cup drivers, who is the one guy you do not want to fight? Like the last driver in the field that you would want to fight?
Basically, today?
Yeah,
you're talking
today.
About fighters?
Today.
Today? I'd fight any of them. God, are you kidding? Like, let me think about this.
But the one that, like, you're like, all right,
let me see. Is this the...
Yes,
oh, yeah,
flip
okay.
it over. So you've
okay,
got...
Okay, Tyler Reddick.
Well, so here's one driver that...
We're not saying drivers that that wouldn't beat us, but I wouldn't mind fighting. I mean,
I'm not fighting Kevin.
No, like the last guy on this list that you would want to get in a scuffle.
One name
with.
That I wouldn't is Kevin Harvick. He was a wrestler, so he's going to know little tricks.
Whatever. Yeah, but you know what? He was a wrestler 30 years ago.
Okay. And
I feel like.
Did you wrestle 30 years ago?
Dude, Noah Gregson trains.
Oh, stop.
Wait.
Stop already. God. The day our sport is afraid of Noah Gregson in a fight. God help us.
Wasn't there this whole thing
that he was taking
lessons just to get better at fights?
You guys might be talking Cup, but Jeffrey Earnhardt, I mean.
Okay. There you go. See, now, I think that's a good observation, but that doesn't qualify because I'm looking at this right now. Listen, I'm going to go through
looking
it.
At that.
Tyler Reddick, no problem. Kyle Busch, no problem. Alex Bowman, no problem. Ross Chastain, no problem. Again, I might get my butt whooped. I'm not saying I wouldn't.
Ricky Stenhouse would win
the
fight.
Oh, stop already. God, this is the sport Earnhardt, Travis. God dang it. This is not – we're not worried about Ricky freaking Stenhouse in a fight. Stop already. This is the sport of Jimmy Spencer, man. This is the sport of Ricky freaking Rudd. This is not a sport of Ricky Stenhouse being a fight. Stop that noise. Stop already.
If you're looking at
– they're killing our brand. Austin Cindric, no problem. Busch, no problem. Ty Gibbs, no. Gilliland, I don't even know what Ty Gilliland looks like, actually.
What?
Do you?
Yeah, he's tall.
Okay, good. Hey, Austin Hill, I don't want to fight him.
Okay. All right,
but
so
we're
that's
just talking
one.
Cup drivers.
We got proof there.
He's, yeah, dude. Austin Dillon.
The chat
Or Austin Hill.
Who, what is the chat saying?
Chat is definitely saying Austin Cindric proved that last year with that punch.
Austin Hill.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. It is Austin Hill. Excuse me.
Denny?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean,
yeah, Mark Denny's got Trex, a bad Jensen, shoulder.
Justin Haley? No, Noah Gregson, Ryan Blaney, Harrison Burton, Eric Jones, Jordan Taylor, Cody Ware, Josh Balicki, Daniel Suarez.
Scrappy, Daniel Suarez.
Scrappy, but still, come on.
Dude, did you Listen, see if, did you if, see if, the move he pulled Andrew, on McDowell in
sure.
Phoenix?
Okay, he had his helmet on.
But you're acting what? Like you're like this.
Hold
like,
up. Hold up. No. This is not my point. Isn't there times, fellas, that you have to get in a fight even though you know you're going to lose? Like if you're out
I'm
to dinner
saying,
with your girlfriend or your wife and somebody disrespects her and you're like, God dang it, I'm going to take my watch. It's going to end badly.
Mike acts
but
like
you
he's
got
been
least
in a litany of fights.
I'm just saying there's something. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I was at a hockey game recently, okay? We were sitting in a section with the opposing team. Had a lot of fans. One of them threw popcorn on my daughter. Whew. My 14-year-old daughter. One of them threw popcorn at my daughter.
What'd I'm hot do? Right now. I mean, I...
Okay. So, my point is... And by the way, I would have totally whooped his ass. But the fact is that...
Well, yeah, he was probably 12. He wasn't wait, Ricky Stenhouse.
No.
Yeah.
No. He was an old man, and he's throwing popcorn at my daughter. You don't do anything?
We're not saying... That's not the question here.
My point. Listen, my point is if any of these drivers throw popcorn at your daughter, would you fight
that's
them?
Not the, that's not the debate.
So my point is that Austin right, Hill can throw popcorn at my daughter. And I'm not going to do a thing. I'm not going to do. He can dump the whole bucket on her. She's just going to have to taste. I'm like, I just say, daughter, just
there you go. You got popcorn.
Grab some, take a bite, enjoy it. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not fighting him. But any of these other guys that I'm looking at, Brad Keselowski. Bubba Wallace is Jimmy Johnson. I mean, like, again, I'm going to lose, but still, I'm going to swing. I'm going to go down swinging. They don't scare me. Austin Hill, I'm not swinging at.
Okay, but on the cup drivers, who's – okay, so you'll swing at everyone.
I could kick anybody in a knee.
Who would be the hardest person to knock out then?
I mean, if Newman was still
who
running.
Who has the toughest chin?
Yeah, Ryan Newman.
Newman
would
be
–
yeah,
me.
I mean, like, that – he just looks like it's going to hurt to hit.
Wasn't Newman the one on the receiving end of Boyer's, like, punches in the All-Star race or at Charlotte or something like that?
Big manly move there, punching him while the guy sat
in
his
the
car
with his helmet on.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, that was that.
Which again. Is also the dumbest thing. You see it in football, but in NASCAR, too. Why would you swing at somebody with a helmet on?
But, Mike,
like,
because
it's
Mike
all
going,
show.
Back to, going back to your point, if anyone were to, like, insult a significant other, or if I have a kid one day, I got a helmet in the car. I'll just throw that on real quick, and then I can fight him.
All right, listen, I've said my speech. Tell me who you're not going to get in a fight with
I've
in that lineup.
I've given some.
Go ahead. Tell me who you're definitely not fighting because you're intimidated, you're scared, and they would absolutely destroy you.
I think I know how strong Ricky Stenhouse is.
Stenhouse
how
is strong.
How strong is Ricky Stenhouse? Tell me how you know how strong he is.
Well, I know that he does CrossFit with Rich Froning, who's a crazy dude.
You know who else does CrossFit? Jason Schultz.
He does. He does, too.
There's a different...
They probably go to the same class.
No, they're not the same classes. Ricky's also going rock climbing on... Like, he's doing things.
Rock climbing. God, don't mess with them.
Not the same
they
thing.
They will whoop your ass.
I can tell you from
those
experience.
Rock climbers.
Jason and Ricky are not in the same division.
Hey,
also,
Dustin.
Working out and, like, training, fighting are two completely
agree,
different things.
Agree. But I don't train out or work out or do any of that. I drink. So I'm not beating Ricky Stenhouse in a fight.
Okay,
so
all right,
Ricky
right.
Stenhouse.
More of the stamina thing.
Ricky Stenhouse is Hulk Hogan over here.
Look, I'm telling you.
I think Daniel Suarez...
Height might be more important than all that.
Has something for going for him in terms of the fighting. He's proved it. I mean,
tell me where he's proved it.
Okay, I'm going based off of that Phoenix altercation. He took arguably one of the biggest drivers, Michael McDowell, and body slammed him on the ground. Not everyone in the cup field can do that.
Did he body slam him?
He did.
Was McDowell ready for it?
Okay,
though.
So if body
I think so.
wait, if body slams are the thing that determines on how tough you are, does what happened with what was his name? John West Townley, is it?
Remember
him and who was the guy that they were?
At Gateway, wasn't it?
And they wrestled
Spencer Gallagher.
Thanks, Dalton.
Did that intimidate you? Because that was a tackle. That was a takedown.
I don't know. Oh man, see, I'm
here's who I will fight.
Here's the Suarez fight. He takes care of him.
Hey, listen. Let me tell you why you can't take that as the ultimate example. Anybody is willing to fight, and myself included. I'm not going to exclude myself from it.
Anybody getting popcorn right now? I want to throw up Mike.
Hold up. Listen. Any of these guys, most of them could whoop me right now because I'm way older than them, except Kevin Harvick. So the fact of the matter is that I could go swing at any of them because I know that there's 100 crew guys that are going to get in here within seconds and are going to break it up. Just look at any Joey Logano altercation and tell me that he doesn't know exactly all the people around him. And so he can
do whatever he wants.
Try to be held me back, boy. You better get, don't let me get to you. Because they absolutely know that there's no way they're going to ever have to get to them because there's people going to separate
them. Do you think there's ever been, probably not, but a driver so heated, knew he probably couldn't win, be like, just be ready to hold me back. Just to make that point, as you mentioned.
More than Joey?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I bet it happens a lot.
I guess awareness.
Of course it's situational. So any of those, this is why I respect Denny, what he did. He took it to the bus lot.
Yard.
He didn't use the car as a weapon. And he didn't do it in front of cameras. Apparently, maybe he did, but he didn't know it. But and they settled it like men. They settled it back there with themselves, and that was that. I make the point to Dell that, you know, I think we have to acknowledge that sometimes this respect and disrespect thing isn't really for us to understand. We can acknowledge that there's stuff that goes on inside a race car and during a race that television cameras don't capture and that we don't have the eyes to see.
Also, though,
what else is that we don't get to see them after the race. And so if anybody's really wanting to settle things, like Ryan Preece is talking about this week, how there's people out there that they got an ass whooping coming. If he really wants to do something about it, he'll be the one that doles it out, and he'll do it where there's not an entire pit crew that's going to separate him.
But I would like the cameras to be in front of it because conflict sells and it's better for us.
Sure, but my point
is, or we do it hockey style where we have the officials wait until the first one hits the ground, and then you break them up.
It's not a bad idea.
Then you can determine who the real winner is.
God. Yeah, put them on skates. Put them on skates. You know, Morgan Shepherd, if you go off that, Morgan Shepherd will whip everybody's ass because he's the only one that's comfortable on skates. Y'all got to Google that. I mean, that's the best YouTube clip there is.
Oh, by the way.
Google.
Until he bites it.
Google Morgan Shepherd. Or YouTube Morgan Shepherd roller skating.
I know this is old, but we haven't talked about it since. But the last a few Dirty Mo lives ago, we were talking about poor Brad Keselowski at the halftime show of the Charlotte Hornets.
Did you go look at that?
I saw that video. Yeah. It's hard to watch.
Yeah, you know what? That reminds me, by the way, did the when it comes to the bracket of Denny Hamlin actions that were detrimental to his life, did seeing Brad Keselowski in the Port-a-John
tournament? It didn't make the bracket.
Wait.
We did,
oh, wait, no.
We did bring it up. A couple things came from that. One, Denny said he will not comment on it, but it was weird seeing Brad with his helmet on.
Right.
And then Denny says that he's never pissed this fire suit before.
I know. I heard him say
that. He said he tried to in Atlanta and he couldn't.
And he got stage fright.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, do you
buy that?
I do buy it. Listen, I think Denny at this point, I mean, he's been fine. I mean, at this point, can we just give him credit that he's honest?
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to say that we don't believe him? I mean, like, by all means, I think he's earned the right for us to believe that he's being honest.
That's true.
He better be careful saying he's never used a bathroom in the car. He
would you be able
to
do that going at speed? If you had to go so bad,
I don't think I'd be able to hold it.
Oh, so you wouldn't be able to hold it? Like he said, he had to go so bad, but he couldn't.
He couldn't.
Oh,
he couldn't because he got stage fright.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's definitely some conversations that take place up in your head about it. You got to work yourself up to it.
But to his point, though, Brad, I get you might have been had to go really bad, but lock the door.
I could. I don't know. I've never been in the situation, but I'd like to think that I could.
Can we do a
test? If I needed to, can we do a test? We should do that. We should see if.
I've had to have a car pull over on the highway because I've had to go so bad on like a.
That's not the
trip.
Same though. We've all been there, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, but like. Could you? I don't know, Denny. I think Denny might not be
so
that abnormal in this.
This
case.
Might not be the exact. And my roommates in Arizona give me shit for this, but it's not the exact situation. But I kind of have been in a similar situation, scuba diving, and having to go while scuba
not
diving.
Not the same.
How would that be a problem?
I have tried.
No,
and tried really? To work it up, and I couldn't.
No, I.
You're so, in the water.
What's yeah. that?
And you have a problem.
I grew up as a swimmer. I was on the swim team. We would just pee during practice.
Of course you would.
Like just with people in your lane. Like so that's it's not even
it's not
no.
even, so it's not even a question.
It's a myth about the pool having the reaction. Of the
any
reaction
any pool that I've ever been in.
But if you're scuba diving, you're scuba diving in an ocean, right?
Yeah, you just got a brown cloud around you. Fish are coming.
That's not the same at all. Like yeah.
Well, okay. Not to defend myself here, but I'm wearing a full wetsuit with boots, so if I go, like it doesn't exit the. It would be like how it be in your fire suit. It'd stay with you when I get back on the boat. Anyways, I don't know if we want to talk about this.
Prove
or not,
it.
But
I don't think
how
I'd have a problem with that.
Cost?
No,
if you're in the ocean
and other people.
No, he's
have
saying
it.
Because it's there's it. Where does the pee go? Is what he's trying to say.
I understand what he's saying. And my point is, I don't know why that's not the biggest problem that you have in that situation.
Yeah.
The only problem is that people know that you did it. And in this case, nobody knows. You're in the ocean.
Like I said, maybe
you're
I
already
shouldn't have put myself under the bus for that one. But, yeah.
This might sound like you go to the YouTube chat on.
Hey, I do know from experience that surfers wearing wetsuits will commonly pee in there to warm themselves up because it's so cold out there.
Right. And the alternative, what are they going to do? Walk to a bathroom
yeah,
if you're surfing
too.
All day? I mean,
true too.
The wave will just wait on you.
I mean, technically, you are swimming in like an ocean of fish pee. And
hey, all right, I've got one for you.
Yeah.
When you're in an, and I know that you guys, you wouldn't do this, but you do Ironmans, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you ever have to go to the bathroom during an Ironman? I would assume yes, right?
So,
do you guys just stop off at a Port-a-John or something?
Yeah.
Is that right?
And I actually...
Not dedicated enough. Just go.
For my Ironman, I strategically, on the bike ride, they have Port-a-Johns, and you can, like, rack your bike up and everything, and I'm like, I'd rather do this now than have to go on the run. And so...
What's the difference? Aren't you...
I don't know.
But on the bike, you have to get off and then get back on. Wouldn't it be actually be smarter for you to do it while you're running?
But I have done it before because it would be more detrimental to wait and not do it than just to
I thought
waste
that the reason that
it.
The bicycles have the water bottles on it is for that, okay, for that situation, for you to go to the bathroom.
And you throw it at one of the people on your way.
Right, and then you throw it out. Do you not do that?
Maybe I should try doing that.
Dude, do you want a good time or don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, like, how committed are you?
And do I want to win?
Right.
That affects other people's performance if they've got a...
One might
know.
Say you manipulated the end of the race by going to the bathroom.
Just don't admit it.
Right. Just don't admit it.
Yeah. Right. I don't know where I got that water bottle from. Yeah, I don't know how we got on that whole topic there.
I don't know.
Travis's
you're,
fault.
You're directing the show, dude.
Yeah, you're the captain.
Me and Travis are just here to
don't
drink.
Blame me.
All right, what else you got? How long have we been going, guys?
Yeah, we've been going.
It's about 48 minutes.
Lord, have we got to the first bullet point that you had?
I think we've covered just about everything.
We got some snake talk coming up, I believe.
Oh, yeah, we mentioned snakes a few times on... have you guys ever encountered a snake?
I did, like, 2 months ago. I was leaving... I left my apartment, and I forgot, and I had to go back in to get something. I saw the littlest snake ever. And when I was going back into my apartment, this guy was standing over it, staring at it. And you could tell that he was, like, confused. And he's like, what is this? I walk by. I go, it's a snake. And just kept walking by. Like, he didn't know what
he
it was.
Staring at it?
It's like it was the first time he's ever seen a snake before.
For context.
Yeah, set this up.
For context, the reason we're just jumping
yeah,
into
just
snakes.
Yeah, just jumping to snakes.
Yesterday on DBC, and I don't know if you guys saw on Freddie's Twitter,
yeah.
But there was a rattlesnake right by where the spotters were set up. I think it was in turn one in Coda. Mm-hmm. And we talk all about that, and Freddie he has a pretty funny recollection of that story. And then if y'all go, I think Dale tweeted it or he put it on his Instagram, but he had a snake encounter over the weekend, and he tells the story of that. So snakes have been brought up in multiple.
It was at his house, right?
Shows, yeah, at his house. But we'll let him. We'll let him.
Yeah, we'll let the podcast.
If it's my house, I'm burning the thing down. Probably.
Really?
Oh, really?
If a snake is in my house,
yeah.
My
hell no!
This is one of my favorite stories.
Oh, go ahead.
This is not me, but one of my favorite stories about my dad is when he was growing up, he would take little garden snakes, and he would bring them to school, and he put them in a brown paper bag. And he'd bring them on the school bus, and one day it got loose, and all the snakes started roaming around the school bus. One made it onto the driver's rear mirror.
Yeah, listen. So to answer your question, like, I live on a property that has a lot of snakes, actually. And I mean, I have a barn. I have pines. I mean, when you plant pine trees and rows and rows of them, well, whatever's out there, right? Like, there's definitely... you come up on a lot of black snakes. I've had water snakes because there's water down at the bottom of the field. There's, I'm sure there's copperheads, although thankfully I've not come across a copperhead yet. But I had a video on my Instagram just last year where I'm in my barn and I'm laying on my back on the ground because I'm working underneath a tractor. And I'm on my back, and then probably a couple feet away from me comes slithering this black snake. And it's the longest freaking black snake that you've ever seen in your life. Like, it was like 8.5 feet long. The thing just never ended. It like just kept going. Man. And I'm just videoing it because I know this black snake, and I'm keeping the black snake around so that I don't have to come across a copperhead. You know, like, that's what you want to do. So, and I've got a chicken coop. Trust me, snakes are going to get in there, try to get eggs. They're going to do that stuff. The key here to Dale's story, and that you just alluded to, is in your house.
Yeah,
that's a different ball game. Story. I'm okay coming up on a snake out where they belong, but in your house, that's a different story. And I'm not going to go give away what Dale said on the show. That's on the Dale Jr. Download. But I think that anybody that takes the position of Travis is well within their right to say, like, I'd burn it down. Because, again, where there's one, there's probably more.
And he brought up the point.
It's like two dozen babies
that it can lay eggs.
Like, I don't
want to
see
a
rat. I don't want to see anything in my house. Like,
yeah.
Well, no, that's fair. Like, there's things that you cannot necessarily be scared of that you just don't want in your house. Like, you might even like them outside the house, but inside your house.
No, I don't like snakes outside either.
Yeah. Well,
when I lived in Arizona, it wasn't my house, but I had a friend who they literally had on a whiteboard in their house days without seeing a scorpion, and it never made it over a week.
They had
a scorpion problem, and that would freak me out.
Did you always have to, like, check
like
your shoes before putting your feet in?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you'd have to.
No,
right?
So I'm being
I didn't go there very
question.
Often, but yeah, but yeah they
Wait,
had a scorpion problem.
You lived in Arizona, did you not?
I mean, it wasn't my house. I was fine.
What are the effects of getting bit by a scorpion?
I don't think it's
death.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, okay. I don't think it's good. Yeah, and
paralysis.
Google like, that. I'm kidding. Travis doesn't
let's
know.
See how close.
Somebody go look up. If you get bit or stung by a scorpion, it's not bit by a scorpion, but if you get stung by a scorpion, what happens? If it's untreated.
Yeah.
Swelling.
Accidentally typed effects of scorpion butt, but for the most scorpion bite.
You ran into the firewall on that one, probably.
Potentially fatal stings. Stings are most serious in young children and the elderly.
Yeah, severe symptoms include muscle twitching, sweating, and drooling.
Well, that's a good
I was, this was years ago. I was in Texas visiting my family, and my sister-in-law went to step on a spider. What she didn't realize is some massive spider that was carrying its eggs. And when she stepped on it, the little ones just went running everywhere.
Yeah.
Hundreds of little spiders.
Are you more scared of spiders or snakes?
Probably spiders because I haven't really ever come across a snake that...
Do you remember the show Fear Factor?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you had to lay in a box with snakes or lay in a box with spiders and scorpions, which would it be?
Snakes. Every single day.
Snakes.
Totally.
I think
snakes are... I mean, if they're not venomous. I think they're cool.
Yeah, they could also just wrap around your arm and just like
squeeze you to death.
Yeah,
like a.
It's not just the venom that they
give me
like,
the nice snakes.
Well, wait. So is it just like a tarantula?
Oh, that you're laying in the box in?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm
I
just
guess.
Trying to think this like.
Tarantulas, yes. We'll go with that. A tarantula scorpion.
Let's get a few of these on the next Dirty Mo Live.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to tell you, I would pick laying in a box with the tarantula or scorpions.
Really?
Yeah. Are they venomous?
You know, Dale brought back a scorpion from Key West years ago.
Brought back.
He brought it back. Had like it
was
in
it a
luggage?
Bottle of tequila?
Supposed to bring back
tried to keep
crabs.
It alive.
Why?
I don't know. Fun? I don't know.
Usually people, what fun is
it? It was in his house.
Usually people.
So
bring
that was
back
in his house,
crabs.
Actually.
Like as a pet?
Oh, I don't think he was trying to, you know, oh. Create it a pet. But he didn't bring it back as a pet. He brought it back to show us, maybe like show and tell. But like he had it in a container with, you know, with holes poked in it so it could breathe. So nah, it didn't last very long. But the fact is that. A scorpion in your house or a snake in your house?
Oh, man.
We've got someone in the chat saying that his dad, this is from Jason Newman, maybe no relation to Ryan Newman, that his dad used to keep two brown snakes in their unfinished basement, and field mice would come into their house, and the snakes kept eating them for years. They stayed down there for years.
Oh, see that? Advantage snakes? Because they're at least doing something over the scorpions.
That's why I keep the black snake in my barn.
Exactly. Right.
Or I don't do anything with it. It goes more places than just the barn.
I think,
but it does make it interesting when you walk into like the tack room or something and all of a sudden there's that black snake sitting there. It's not – you do make an audible noise.
Have you named the snake?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't name snakes.
But if you're keeping it around, you're clearly – like you see it often –
I probably, if I named a snake, I'd probably name it Ward.
All right, there it is.
Oh, Ward. Speaking of, looking at the social media replies to both Freddie and Dale, that was the top question, is where was Ward Burton in all of this? Yeah.
Dale did say, I don't want to give it away. Never mind. Go listen to the podcast. You want to know what Dale said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's out now. Tim's and I came up with
a great story, frankly. It's a great story how they found the snake.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh, man, I don't want to give it away.
No, don't. No.
Yeah.
We need those downloads.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But go listen to Action Detrimental first.
I'm proud of the
it's
this
a great
is,
one.
This
yeah.
is the title. Tim's and I, we were trying to figure out what the title
is
for the
is it a shit show and a happy ending?
Download should was. Be. No, this is good. Wait, hold on. Let me get this right. Snakes, Snacks, and Stage Breaks. That was the title. That's I was pretty proud of that.
Alliteration.
Yeah. And?
Tiff. Yeah. Tiff isn't sure yet.
If she likes
she
it.
She thinks it's fun. All right, that's good. Tim's and I were pretty excited.
I don't know if
it.
It's worth celebrating and throwing a party over yeah. I mean, yeah. like you're doing, but I mean, by all means, you know, I'm glad you're proud of it.
I guess
that took two people to come up with that.
Now, right. say it like, now say it like Samuel L. Jackson, like you're promoting snakes on a plane.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, I think the only thing worth celebrating is if you beat Dale again in whatever that game is on Thursday.
If I do, there's no way I do it. Two in a
quick
row.
Round
no
of
way.
Applause. Yeah.
There's no way. But I tell you what, if I do, then y'all definitely owe me money.
No.
Whoa.
I'm,
why?
I would think. I mean, because it's impossible. There's no way I can beat him twice.
Yeah.
I'll mean, buy seriously. You. In a NASCAR history game, I mean, he's an Earnhardt. I couldn't beat him twice.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna try.
I'll buy you a beer.
Okay, buy me a beer.
A lot of great ideas from the chat today. I mean, they want us to set up a boxing ring at NASCAR tracks, and then you know, label it the Dirty Mo Media. I lost it.
Last thing before we go, and I don't know if we actually ended up sharing this, but do we want to tease again who the guest is going to be for the Wednesday show?
I don't even want to tease it. I want to tell it.
Are we good? Are we good?
I
want to
say
it?
Who we're going to have on tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Because we do say it on the podcast. Podcast out tomorrow. We're going to have Chip Ganassi in the house.
Yeah.
And I am Chip. So pumped about Chip Ganassi. A couple reasons why. One, Connor Daly said it was impossible for us to get Chip Ganassi.
We done got him.
He said it, and then the next day we had him booked. And now, from the time we had him booked till tomorrow, I'm still worried that he doesn't show. That would then prove
what if
Connor
he's
Daly
watching?
Right.
What if he's watching this and you'd be like, you know what?
But listen, I am intimidated by Chip Ganassi. He scares me. He's the one guy that I would rather not fight him. I'd fight anybody else, but not Chip Ganassi.
So if he throws popcorn at your daughter, what do you do? Buy him more?
He will be my Orville Redenbacher, dude. He can throw whatever he wants.
Chip, I see you drop some of your popcorn. Would you like some more?
Yeah, I would help. Yeah, I would pick it up and let him throw it at her again. So the fact is that listen, I don't think we have enough team owner like big time team owners on our show, and I'd love to be able to have these conversations. Listen, Jack Roush is another one that I would love to have. We have had Roger Penske, but that was during the COVID, you know, days when we were doing it Zoom, so that doesn't even count. But like Chip Ganassi, man, I'm gonna tell you something. That fool has won the biggest races there are, and multiples of them. He's won them all. He's won the Daytona 500, the Indy 500 many times. He's won the Rolex. He's won Le Mans. He's won all the races, all of them. And I don't know that he gets enough credit for it. Plus, I kind of miss him from being in NASCAR. I love what Trackhouse is doing, but the fact of the matter is that Ganassi was this breed of racer that just, I don't know, he kind of feels like that old school mentality, right? Like that old school gruff, fire your ass in a second, don't care. So I don't know what to expect with him, but I know that when he comes in tomorrow, there's some things that I would love to be able to ask him. One, I want to be able to ask him about Alex Palou. I might live to regret it. Maybe he takes a swing at me. I don't know. I'd love to find out the reason why.
Hopefully you have a helmet on if he does.
The reason why about Alex Palou is because he's had so many big-time drivers that race for him. Alex Palou won a championship for him. And then I thought what happened to him – my phone's ringing. Hold on. I thought what happened – I was on the Ganassi side of that deal. Like I thought that was wrong what McLaren did last year. Palou's in a contract with Ganassi. They go off and announce him as going to McLaren, and I don't know how all that – all I know is what I've heard on Speed Street, frankly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Alex Palou was on Speed Street this year, and they did address it. But, man, I just wanted to be able to ask Chip. He may give us nothing. I have no idea. But then that's one. The other thing is the Earnhardt DEI merger from – 2009, 2010, DEI became Earnhardt Ganassi Racing. And I remember when that happened, we were all like, that's an interesting couple, Teresa and Chip Ganassi. Like, what does that do? What does that look like? So I'm just curious if that relationship was as odd as it seemed from us. I don't know. And plus, there's just so many other things to talk to Chip Ganassi about. Yeah. I'm so pumped that he's coming.
And I feel like the fact that he's no longer in the NASCAR bubble, we haven't heard from him. The question, it's more of just how – there's so many questions that I would have on the top of my head.
Right.
You covered a few of those. But just
right. Good
to hear from him again,
Well, yeah, no, but he's not – I mean, he's very visible on the IndyCar side.
Oh, yeah, in IndyCar. But on the NASCAR side, we haven't seen him.
Right, right. But you need to just broaden up a little bit and go watch a little IndyCar. You know, Connor Daly would be disappointed in you right now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm disappointed in Connor doubting you guys' ability to get him.
Not me.
Did you book him?
Listen, let me tell you why it's okay. Because Connor Daly's been booking some freaking badass
Speed
guests
Street's
on Speed Street
it.
Lately. And Jordan Taylor, by the way, on the show tomorrow.
Nice.
Ooh.
So that'd be nice.
I'll be curious to see what, especially since Connor was in the race too.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
To hear what they have to say about that.
So big things. It'll be a good week of content for the Dirty Mo Media.
Next week's going to be a blast, though.
Not that you'll be here to see it. I hope, God, we need to. I want Denny, if Denny has a bomb to drop, I want it to happen next week.
Oh, man. Let's just, make next week the best.
I want him to – listen, I don't even want to joke about this. I don't want to joke about it.
I know what you're saying because I'm thinking it without
– Yeah, I don't want to joke about it because there'll be somebody out there that'll not take it for what it is. So forget that. I'm just saying I want Denny to drop a bomb next week.
Yeah, I think we've been gearing up to have a great week for next week.
The appeal is next week.
Is it?
April 6th.
Is it really?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, that's a bold statement to say live on YouTube if you think so and don't know so. Is it really April 6th?
I think so.
All right. Well, that's as good as we got for you, folks. Yeah. We think so. Yeah.
I think we'll leave it on that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. It was fun.
Good deal. All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Make sure you listen to Dale Jr. Download out now. Doorbell Preclear yesterday was a lot of fun. Action's Detrimental. We got Dirty Mo Doe. And, well, you just heard Dirty Mo live. So, and Speed Street. Speed Street, of course, which we just promoted. So, all right, everyone. See you later.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.